And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
I now introduce to you the President of the United States, Hillary Rodham Clinton. You know, you could very well be hearing that exact phrase proclaimed in a number of forums and speech-making opportunities for Hillary Clinton in the coming years. This is Tex Mars. And I want you to listen to me very carefully today, dear friends. We're entering the age of Hillary. The age of Hillary Rodham Clinton. You know, many years ago when I wrote my book, Big Sister is Watching You, some people laughed, scorned, ridiculed. Bill and Hillary Clinton had just taken office, and most people viewed her as just another first lady, perhaps a little stronger than other first ladies, but nevertheless, just a first lady. You remember she did say she didn't want to be a Tammy Wynette, just, you know, stand by her man. She didn't want to be just a woman who stayed at home and baked cookies. She said, if you vote for my husband Bill, you get me too. They're two for the price of one. A lot of people understood that she was going to be a little bit more forceful than other first ladies had been. We had a tradition of first ladies being, well, not so aggressive, and really they would get a topic. It could be, you know, children or education. It could be libraries. It could be the fight against some dread illness. But they would have sort of like a, you know, Miss USA does. They always have to have sort of a campaign, a crusade. And then they just tended their little matters, did their knitting, and sit in the corner. But Hillary made it plain she was going to be different. Nevertheless, when I wrote in my book, Big Sister is Watching You, that she intended, after 8 years of her husband's administration, someday she would become the first woman president of the United States. That was her intention. She would do everything that's necessary. She would best George Orwell's big brother. She would lie. She would cheat. She would steal. She would scheme. She would con. Whatever it took. I said that basically in that book. And boy, did the knives come out with their 1,000 cuts of Tex Mars. Everybody was up in arms about that book, Big Sister is Watching You. They were in furor. They were angry. How dare you say such things about this wonderful, kind, loving Christian woman and her Southern Baptist husband who carried his Bible with him dutifully to church every Sunday morning. Right after having oral sex, of course, with Miss Lewinsky in the White House on Sunday morning. I want to talk to you today about Hillary Rodham Clinton, about her quest to become President of the United States, about those who are helping her, those who, you'll be surprised, will help her, are helping her behind the scenes, and I mean some of the top-named evangelists in America, and they are going to help her, some of the top Republicans in the United States, some of the top neoconservatives in the United States, they are all going to do their jobs. I've often told you, friends, there's no difference between the Republican and Democrat parties. Not a dime's worth of difference. And you're going to see it during the coming months as we see the rise of Hillary Rodham Clinton, beloved of all Americans, they will tell us, and amazingly acclaimed by the evangelicals Oh, yes. But I want to set the stage here about Hillary Clinton. You see, I want you to understand something. Her prominence, her eminence, her rise to power is not done in a vacuum. It's not done because of the power of her personality or the influence of her scheming or the fact that she's got the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and others behind her. Yes, she does, but wait, there's more. There's a general picture here. There is a big view. There is insight that you must have. You must understand that Hillary herself is only a stooge. She is only a puppet. And there are those pulling her strings, and you must understand this. She will do what they tell her to do. And everyone involved, Republican, Democrat, will assist in their own unique ways for the elevation of Hillary Rodham Clinton to be president of the United States. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not prophesying that this is going to occur. God didn't come down and tell me, Tex, Hillary's going to be president. And when he does, if he does, I'll tell you about it, dear friends. I want you to know this is what the Illuminati elite won't for now. They could change their minds. She could make a fool of herself on the campaign stage. She could make errors in judgment. There could be some things come out from the secret realm that destroy her candidacy. She might make a speech in which she says the wrong things. I doubt it very seriously because the media are behind her. And they will minimize and diminish and discount any mistakes that she makes. But you have to understand the plans of mice and Illuminati men don't always come to the fore. They don't always pan out. Sometimes God confounds them. Sometimes for his own pleasures and maybe his own humor and enjoyment, God laughs at them and does what he wants in the matter. But if God allows, and if nothing happens to skew their plans, this is what will take place. So this is not what I'm saying God wants to do. I'm saying if God allows it, it'll take place. But he may not. And I'm not prophesying it because I don't know what's going to happen here. I can only tell you what the Illuminati won't. Sometimes they don't get what they want, but it's rare. For example, right now they've got everything they wanted in Iraq, and everybody thinks the United States is a great failure. Believe me, the Illuminati have exactly what they want in Iraq. They have won the great victory. Iraq is in tatters and in shreds. 650,000 Iraqis slain. Hundreds of thousands of others maimed, wounded. There's very little electric power. There's very little water, clean water for people. Bridges have been bombed. People are living out in the cold and in the dust, have lost their homes because of our bombing, our killing. And they're fighting each other. The Shia and the Sunni Muslims are fighting each other, hating each other. And it was all planned. Total confusion and chaos in Iraq. And that was the plan from the beginning. If you thought we were going to go over there and try to set up a government and have democracy and everybody was going to play checkers and you know, get on the internet and play midnight poker, like Americans do, and watch all of our game shows, you're out of your mind. This was the plan, to destroy the unity of the people, to have them fighting each other, to use the Hegelian dialectic, Shia against Sunnis, Muslim killing Muslim, blowing up neighborhoods, killing each other, rape, mayhem. Of course, the United States, Britain, and Israel had to get it all going. We've been the tit over there. and we go bomb a Sunni mosque, and it makes the Sunnis mad. Then the next week, we go bomb a Shia mosque. It makes the Shias mad. And we blame it on the other party, and they're fighting each other. They fought for it. They're like a bunch of fools, just like Americans are a bunch of fools. We have here, it's a little less bloody, but we have discourse and bitter fighting between the Rush Limbaughs and the Al Franken's and so forth, the left and the right and the Republicans and the Democrats, all for show. And the Illuminati just drives straight forward, right in the middle of all of them. You're going to see what I'm telling you, I believe, is going to occur with Hillary Rodham Clinton. But another party could come up, a Barack Obama. As they call him, Barack Osama Obama. Whatever they call him, he could come up. After all, the Illuminati have been looking at the man. He's very attractive. He's sort of the Tiger Woods of politics. You know a little bit of this race and a little bit of that race, a little black, a little white. Maybe throw in a little something or other here and there. And that's sort of what they like to see. The multicolored, multiracial, the guy goes down at Rick Warren's church, Saddleback Community Church last week. And all the Christians go, oh, isn't it wonderful? Senator Barack Osama Obama comes and talks to us. Oh, how wonderful. Evangelical Christians love this liberal Democrat. But then he goes and talks to some other group and says, we've got to kill more babies through abortion, and we've got to promote the homosexual agenda. And all of those weirdos go, yes, we love Barack Osama Obama as much as the evangelical Christians love the man. I highly suspect Senator Obama will become Vice President of the United States under Hillary Rodham Clinton. Or they may reverse it. He may be such a faithful servant and such a Tiger Woods of politics that they say, let's give it to him. Let's demote Hillary Clinton. I'm trying to tell you, Hillary has no power in and of herself, and she can be demoted tomorrow if she doesn't kiss the right pair of boots. But she has one thing over Barack Obama, over Senator John Edwards, over many others. One thing she has in common, in fact, with John Kerry, that they allowed to run for president last time on the ticket, she is Jewish. She is Jewish. And that's what I want to talk to you today. The Jews are ready for an empire of their own. And they're ready. And they're tired of Gentile stooges. They've had enough of stooges. They want their own people in. They want their own blood. They want their own tribe. Hillary Clinton fits the bill. She is Jewish. You say, well, no, she's a Christian. She's Methodist. Oh, sure. Just like Nero was a Christian. We'll talk about that in a minute. You have to always understand there are reasons for things. There are people who appear to be Christian but are not, and are Jews. The Bible talks about those who say they are Jews and are not, and are of the synagogue of Satan. Isn't that an interesting thing? Hillary Clinton told New Yorker magazine, yes, I'm Jewish. My grandmother was Jewish. She talked Yiddish around the house. Wow. Who would have known? The little girl from Illinois, Hillary Rodham, Jewish. It just suddenly just blares at you. But it seems that they all discover these things. Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State under Bill Clinton. Some stories started coming out on the internet that she was secretly a closet Jew. And then she just came up and said, you know what? I just found out I'm a Jew. Well, then she flew over to Czechoslovakia and visited the Jewish cemetery where all of her ancestors were, including her grandfather and mother, including her father, who was a communist high up in the Czechoslovakian communist government. How, isn't it amazing? She says, huh, yep, I'm a Jew. I had no idea. Golly. We're going to have to rewrite the script of Casablanca, the movie. All the Jews are being outed. They're saying, I'm shocked. I'm shocked. I'm a Jew. And if you believe they didn't know, friends, listen. You know that old saying, we have some swamp land in Florida? Well, I've got some choice land here. It's expensive, but you need it if you're foolish enough to buy it right here in Texas. We have a little dance. It was made famous by Laura Bush's most, it's the movie and the play, screenplay that she said she loved the most and considered for Texas. It was entitled The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. And in the movie, a Texas politician did a famous dance. They call it the Texas sidestep. You may have heard of the Texas two-step, but this politician does the Texas sidestep. That's what the crypto Jews are doing. Are they Czech? Maybe. They're sidestepping. Are they Polish? Maybe. Are they American? Could be. Are they Russian? Perhaps. Are they Jewish? Whoop! There comes the Texas sidestep. But that's the way it's always been. I want to read to you from the Protocols of Zion. It's a book that's hated all over the world, but we offer it. We're one of the, in fact, I think we're the only people in the whole world, as far as I know, offering this book. There may be another agency or two, I don't know, but when you offer this book, SWAT teams seem to pay your calls, and IRS agents seem to knock on your door, and the FBI starts investigating you, and pretty soon you might be a potential terrorist and be put in prison for the rest of your life without any constitutional rights. But we still offer the book, The Protocols of Zion, because either we're foolish here at Power of Prophecy or we just believe in telling the truth. Now, I want to read to you from The Protocols of Zion. It seems, and it is documented here, that in Spain, when the king and queen of Spain back in the 1490s, 1492 to be exact, made an edict that the Jews who converted to Christianity could stay, but all others had to leave Spain. They didn't want to leave Spain, and they wanted to know what they needed to do to stay there and to get revenge over the Christians. Their tormentors, they believed. And so they went to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Sanhedrin, the chief rabbis, the grand satraps and the rabbis, who were headquartered at the time in Constantinople, what is now Turkey. And they said, what are we to do? We are being told by the king and queen of Spain to leave. Become Christian, convert our get out. Here was the advice that came back to them in a letter. Beloved brethren in Moses, wrote the rabbis. They say, as for what you say that the king of Spain obliges you to become a Christian, do it, since you cannot do otherwise. It tells them, go ahead and do it. Not a change of heart now, just a change of status. I'm now a Jewish Christian all of a sudden. You're still a Jew, but now you're just a Jewish Christian. The government says that we want you to become a Christian. Go, okay, do it. Doesn't mean anything. The privacy of your homes, you can still be a Jew. You can still worship just like all the Jews have always done. You can still believe in the Jewish Talmud, in the Kabbalah. But when you leave the comfort of your home, smile to your Christian neighbors and friends and say, yep, I'm a Christian, but you're lying, but that's okay. They won't know. Second, the rabbis gave this advice. Quote, as for what you say about the command to despoil you, take away your property, we advise you to make your own sons merchants, that You and your sons may then despoil, little by little, the Christians of their property. Become merchants and take away their property. The next bit of advice was, the rabbis told the Jews in Spain, as for what you say about making attempts on your lives, here's what you must do. Make your own sons doctors and apothecaries. That means pharmacists, druggers. Make your own sons doctors and pharmacists that they may take away Christians' lives. Dr. Goldberg, I have some pain in my chest. Dr. Goldberg says, here, take this pill. It'll be good for you. It poisons you. It kills you, but you don't know. And even at your funeral, they thank Dr. Goldberg for treating you so graciously during your short life on this earth. As for what you say of their destroyer synagogues, the rabbis wrote, why, make your own sons Canaanites and clerics. In other words, make them Christian clergymen in order that your sons may destroy their churches. You say you're afraid the Christians may destroy your synagogues? Well, you Jews, just teach your sons, require your sons to become bishops and pastors and ministers. And then destroy the Christian church from within. In other words, be a crypto-Jew, but call yourself Bishop so-and-so. Or Evangelist Jackson. Or Pastor Weinman, or whatever it is. And the advice in the protocols goes on to say, arrange for your sons to become advocates and lawyers. See that they always mix in affairs of state. Put Christians under your yoke so that you may dominate the world and be avenged on them. Just read an article, more Jews in Congress. There's more Jews in Congress today in the United States than there have ever been. But listen, unless you're a Zionist, whether you're Gentile or Jew, you cannot win election in America anymore. You must be a Zionist and a Judaizer to become a successful politician in America. Everybody knows it. The Democratic Party even had a man, Rahm Emanuel, who many believe is a member of the Mossad, the spy agency of Israel, and is loyal only to the Jews and to the nation of Israel. And he had to approve before any Democrat could get $1 in the election campaign. You got to go to Mr. Rahm Emanuel and get on your knees and beg this Jewish satrap, this rabbi, for money. Please let me run for Congress, Mr. Emanuel. I will support the Jewish agenda 100%. Ah, yes. Sign right here. Throughout history, crypto-Jews have brought misery, death, brutality to this world of ours, dear friends. Adam Weishaupt was Jewish, but he claimed to be a Catholic cleric. Taught at a Catholic Jesuit university. Many Jesuits are Jews. Karl Marx gave us the theory of communism. Boy, talk about a killer there. Tens, hundreds of millions dead. Jewish. Khrushchev of Russia, Jewish. Ignatius Loyola, he was a Spanish general. And when Martin Luther brought about the Reformation and the Protestant Church began to grow in Europe, Loyola went to the Pope of Rome and said, let me, a general, become head of a new order. We will call the Jesuits. Yes, I am a general. But I'm a Jewish general. I know how to do things sneakily, deceptively. I know how to use the principles of Machiavelli. And now we have in the United States universities, Loyola, named Loyola University. They honor this man, Ignatius Loyola. He started the Counter-Reformation. He also started the murder and torture of many Protestant Christians. The founder of the Communist Party of the USA, Gus Hall, from Scandinavia, Jewish. His real name wasn't Hall at all. Check the encyclopedia. Find out his real name. Torquemada. He was a vibrant Christian man. And when they began the Inquisition against those who would not heal to the Catholic Church, the Pope put in charge of the torture. Oh, such torture. You know, the rack, the Iron Maiden. Rape, killings, torture of victims. I'm sure George Bush just wishes he had another Torquemada to run his Abu Ghraib and other prisons today. Torquemada was not only Spanish, but now we come to find out he was Jewish. Everywhere we turn, Lenin, it turns out, was Jewish. We have radio shows. We think they're just nice Protestant boys. Watch out. Michael Savage, his real name is not Savage, it's Weiner. W-E-I-N-E-R. Michael Savage is Michael Weiner. He's Jewish. Rush Limbaugh, Jewish. I read to you just recently the work that's come out by researcher Yaakov Wise, a Jewish researcher. He now admits Pope John Paul II was Jewish. Really? Read it for yourself. The Pope was Jewish, says historian. Read it in the Manchester Metro News, October 19, 2006. Find it on your internet. Vladimir Putin, the new president of Russia. Many people say, oh, he's opposed to the Jews. Oh, really? Is that why, according to ABC News Online, November 13, 2002, he threatened reporters who were asking him too many pesky questions that if they didn't watch out, he would have them all circumcised? That's what he said. Was he really related to Jews? This is Tex Mars. We're looking at crypto Jews, their bloody role in human history. And in part two, we're going to be looking at Hillary Rodham Clinton and her coming bloody role in human history. I'm Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. We're offering today the Protocols of Zion. The Protocols of Zion. I don't know if you can find this book anywhere in the world. It's almost 300 pages long. You will find in this the Illuminati plan for the end of the world. How they are conquering the world to set up a Jewish utopia. You know, this is exactly what the New Testament warned about. The setting up of a false utopia with a Jewish king. Jesus, though, said, my kingdom is not of this world. The Jews rejected him because they sought a king on this planet and thought with such a king, they, the Jews, would be in the driver's seat of world affairs and would be able to amass all of the world's riches into their laps. And they formulated a plan over the centuries, and then it came out and was exposed. Friends, it's been a long time now. About 100 years since we've known about the Protocols of Zion. Henry Ford, the great industrialist, the founder of the modern day assembly line, the Ford Motor Company founder, said he believed the Protocols of Zion were legitimate. Aviator Charles Lindbergh believed expressly in them, and many others over the decades have as well. I believe the protocols of Zion are absolutely genuine. But Henry Ford said it doesn't matter whether you believe they are or not. You may believe they're forgeries or fakes, but he said, read them and see what's happening, and you'll find out. The protocols give you a picture, a presentation of exactly what is happening in the world and has happened over 100 years. You'll finally understand the significant key events of world history, why they had to happen that way. They were all foretold and explained in the protocols of Zion. This is an infamous prescription. Can you believe a prescription, a plan, step by step, including control of churches, the Christian church, control of the media, control of banking, control of governments, the staging, yes, staging of major bloody wars. The use of crypto Jews to gain power and influence. It's all here in the protocols of Zion. You don't have to believe it. I know you've heard it's a lie. You've heard it's a forgery. And the forces of the world have come against this book. It is an amazing thing. This book still exists. It hasn't been thrown onto bonfires. Millions of copies have. If you live in Germany, don't order this book. You will go to prison. If you live in the nation of France, Austria, and many other countries, do not order this book from us. I don't want to be the cause of your going to prison. You say, well, that won't happen. We have free speech in our country. Oh, sure you do. Until you order this book. And the censors find out, you got a copy of the Protocols of Zion. That's a no, 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 no. There is no free speech in many countries today as far as this incredible book, The Protocols of Zion. It is the most banned book in the world. Some say the Bible is the most banned. No, it's the Protocols of Zion. Why do they so hate it? And if it's a silly, ridiculous forgery, what are they scared about? Why don't they just laugh about it? Why don't they joke about it? Why don't they say, look at this stupid book, ha, ha, ha. Instead, they want to put you in jail. They'll put you in prison for it. Here in the United States, we still have the freedom. We'll send it to you in a plain brown wrapper. By the way, it doesn't have anything smutty in it. There's not one word of profanity. There's no curse words in it. There's no bad pictures in it. It's just a book explaining the politics, the economics, the financial, the religious affairs of state. What's happening in the world? That's all it is. It seems to be the most innocent book in the world. It's only words, and there's not a dirty word in it. Why do they despise this book so much? Well, of course, for the same reason they despise Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Horrible, terrible. He makes himself to be God. Crucify him. Now, I want you to understand, I don't put this book on an equal basis with Jesus Christ. This book and every book in the universe is not worth maybe a bit of a fingernail that came from the body of Jesus Christ. I'm just saying that the hatred that was spewed out against Jesus is still being spewed out today against the truth. But you can get this truth. $18 of truth. Now don't tell your friends you have this book. Well, it may scare them. You know, one of the books that Tex Mars wrote a few years ago was entitled Circle of Intrigue, about the hidden inner circle of the Illuminati global conspiracy. I sent a copy to my sister, and she turned around and ordered another copy and gave it to her boss. She worked for the head psychiatrist of mental health, mental retardation in Beaumont, Texas. She was his personal secretary. She said, here's my brother's newest book, Circle of Intrigue. I think you may enjoy reading it. He looked at it, he scanned it, and it scared him. So she said, oh my goodness, do you think they're going to come after me if they find out this book is in my home? Do you think there was he paranoid? Well, he was a psychiatrist. He was helping the paranoid. But he knew. A lot of people know that about Tex Mars's books. They're frightening. They're scary. You could get a SWAT team sent to your home, I suppose. That's what some people believe. I haven't heard of anybody. There was one man up in Long Island. And they wrote an article about him. They sent the SWAT team to his house because they heard he had subversive material. It turned out he had a couple of Tex Mars's books. They sent a SWAT team to his house. Well, I'm sure after this program today, some people are going to say, Sandra, wow, I can't afford to order Tex Mars books. They might send a SWAT team to my house. I don't think they're going to do that. Maybe we have a few more years freedom in this, But I'll tell you one thing, they don't want you to read the truth. They don't want you to know things. I'm going to tell you another thing, too. I believe the King James Bible. Pretty soon they'll be confiscating that book. In the census report, they'll ask you, do you have any of the following materials in your home at this time? And it'll have Protocols of Zion book, King James Bible. If you check yes, they'll pay you a visit. They'll confiscate it, or you'll go to prison for having hate material in your home. Okay, we're going to return to our regular program now. But how to get this book, The Protocols of Zion? Just phone us toll free and use your charge card. 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Hey, you can go to our website. That is powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. There's a little search in there, and just go in and type Protocols of Zion, and it'll take you right to the ad, or right to where you can get the book. You can order it online if you'd like. You can send us $18 plus $4 shipping and handling, a total of $22 check or money order, and say, hey, Tex, send me the book, The Protocols of Zion, and send it to me in a plain brown wrapper, just a regular envelope. And we'll do that, a regular bubble envelope, just like you get if you order something from Sears or Ward's is gone now, aren't they? Best Buy or whoever you are. You get it from. Let's return to our regular program now. You're listening to Tex Mars. We're talking about the crypto Jews and specifically Hillary Rodham Clinton. I mentioned Pat Buchanan. He's for a long time been a conservative. He's a member of Opus Dei. He's a Knight of Malta, a Roman Catholic, loyal to the Pope of Rome, and his wife, of course, is Jewish. There's Winston Churchill. You know, in the book, The Last Lion, Winston Spencer Churchill, Visions of Glory, written by the famous historian William Manchester, he explained that Churchill was not only Jewish, but he was saved from ruin on Black Friday 1929 when the stock market fell by a Jewish financier, Bernard Baruch. Quite interesting. In the book, The World Conquers, The Real War Criminals, the author notes that the Emperor Nero married Poppaea Sabina. She was the wife of Nero. Remember, he's the one that fiddled while Rome burned, they said. He blamed the burning of Rome on the Christians, and thus began a great persecution. Fed them to the lions, sawed off their heads, etc. Crucified thousands of Christians. Turns out that his wife, Poppaea, was a Jewess. She was Jewish, and she's the one who convinced the emperor, Nero, to exterminate the Christians. I mentioned to you that several years ago I visited Europe and went to the Colosseum, and my tour guide, who taught at one of the universities, he taught Roman history. I asked him, I said, let me ask you a question. Was the family of Nero Jewish? He said, oh, yes. That's interesting you would ask that, he said. In fact, that's true. Nero and his family were all Jews. Nero and his family were all Jews. By the way, you can find a lot about crypto-Jews in the book From Sabbath to Sunday, written by Samuel Bacciocchi. Let's move on here. We can talk about crypto-Jews all day long, and I'll tell you, it is interesting. Fidel Castro, communist, yes. Jewish, absolutely. Turns out that he is Jewish. Not too long ago, in Colorado, two young men at Columbine High School ended up killing a number of their classmates. Their names? Dylan Klebold, Eric Harris. They said they did it because they worshipped Adolf Hitler. Oh, really? That's what the press said. But then researchers discovered that Dylan Klebold was a member of a very prominent Jewish family, originally from Columbus, Ohio. And the other young man, Eric Harris, also was Jewish. They were Jews. Maybe they were just angry at what Hitler had done. It turns out now, belatedly, and by the way, it's taken all this time since they killed their fellow students years ago, to finally release the documents the police were forced to under Freedom of Information request. Turns out that they were angry at their non-Jewish schoolmates. And they said on their websites, they put such things as remember the Holocaust, fight the Gentiles, kill Gentiles. What they did at Columbine was their way at getting at non-Jews. Remember the little girl in the library as they went around asking, do you believe in Jesus? She said yes, and they blew her head off. They went around asking their fellow students, are you a born-again Christian? If you said yes, you died. They hated Jesus. They were both Jewish monsters. Crypto Jews. Boy, that's been kept from you, hasn't it, friends? That's been kept from you. Now, let's talk about Bill and Hillary Clinton. Some say that Bill Clinton all along has been a crypto Jew. Oh, come on. Well, let's read what he said in the Daily Times newspaper, August 4, 2002. Headline, Clinton says he would die for Israel. Now remember, Clinton was a draft dodger. He refused to fight for the United States. He was a draft dodger. I'm not throwing stones at him, even though I'm a retired Air Force officer. After all, Dick Cheney's a draft dodger. George Bush is a draft dodger. In fact, everybody who had any amount of money at all dodged the draft. I mean, how many congressmen and their sons do you know went in the draft? None. Well, just a few. Just a small handful. Out of 565 senators and congressmen, I understand that about 20 served in the U.S. Armed Forces at one time or another. They're all a bunch of punk draft dodgers. But back to Bill Clinton. He's in Toronto, Canada. He spoke to a meeting of the Jewish ADL. And he talked about how he was so turned on by the war against the Arabs. He said he felt like he wanted to grab a rifle, get in a ditch, and fight and die for the Jews. Now, wasn't that patriotic of the man? Let me quote him. I want to make sure it's correct exactly. He says, quote, the Israelis know that if the Iraqi or the Iranian army came across the Jordan River, I would personally, says Bill Clinton, I would personally grab a rifle, get in a ditch, and fight and die. That's what Clinton told the crowd at the fundraising event for a Toronto Jewish charity. if the Arabs came across the Jordan River, the Iraqis or the Iranian army, I would grab a rifle, get in a ditch, and fight and die for Israel. Well, now, isn't that real Jewish of him? Isn't that just, doesn't that make your heart bleed? Well, it might. Might make your whole body bleed. Someday. Now, let's get to looking at Hillary just a little bit. Crypto Jew that she is. Does she not hate Christians any less than Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, the Columbine killers? Would she not love to put a pistol to your head as a Christian and demand of you, do you believe in Jesus? And when you say yes, would she not like to blow your head apart? I believe she would. I believe she would. You know, the Bible says something someday about a woman coming to power, and coming to power with the help of the youth. The youth. Could it be that the youth of America, the MTV generation, the hippie generation, will bring Hillary Clinton to power, this Jewish woman, this Jezebel? Well, listen to what Isaiah prophesied. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse 11, it says, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. The wicked will have things given to them. They work to stir up death. They work to create bloodshed. They work to put money and power in their hands. And the Bible says it will be given unto them. It will be given unto them what they want. Verse 12 says, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Let me read that again. I believe this is a message for America today. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, God says here, oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord, verse 13 says, standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. Verse 14 says, the Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye, verse 15 says, that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor? Hillary, my friends, when she gains power, is going to beat God's people to pieces, and she will grind the faces of the poor. George W. Bush right now is twisting slowly, slowly in the wind. You know, that was a Watergate statement. Twisting slowly, slowly in the wind. Meanwhile, in the Senate, in the House, Hillary is one of the leaders. She is one of the leaders of this nation. A recent poll showed that 56% of the people of the United States said that they would vote for her if the election were held today. She would beat Bush. She would beat McCain. She would beat Kerry. She would beat Edwards. She would defeat all comers. 56% of the American people would vote for Hillary today. 65% of the American people believe she would do a good job as president of the United States. On March the 17th, 1969, a woman, Golda Meir, became the Prime Minister of Israel, an office that she held for 5 years. And now, following Israel, we're going to have a woman. If the Illuminati get their way, if the devil doesn't change their mind, if God allows it to to happen. Now, what forces are there to help her in her quest, this quest of the Illuminati to bring Hillary to great prominence? And remember, I said once she gains power, she will have the police state that George Bush has put together. She will have the will and the determination and the hatred of Christianity. She will grind the poor, the faces of the poor. She will beat God's people to pieces, Isaiah prophesied. Children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Who possibly, seeing the horror of Bill and Hillary Clinton the first 8 years, knowing now that we have put in place, because of this so-called fake war on terror, we have allowed a great police state, an Orwellian police state, to come into being, complete with torture centers, police concentration camps, the loss of constitutional rights, the growth of Big Brother's police watching over us, and now we're going to have Hillary Clinton to run the whole show. Who will help her to gain such power? Will it be Dr. Billy Graham and his son Franklin? You better believe it. At his very last crusade, his major crusade, he called it the Farewell Crusade, in New York City, 80,000 people gathered to hear Dr. Billy Graham. And he wanted to make an impact. It's his last great crusade in the whole world. Now, he'll be on TV and they'll be having other things, but this was his last great crusade. 80,000 people came to hear him. He gave a short 15-minute sermon, but before he did, he brought Bill and Hillary Clinton up to the stage with him. Billy Graham took the hands of Bill and Hillary, and he endorsed Hillary as the next president of the United States. Graham's exact, Billy Graham, the Pope of the Southern Baptist Convention, the head of all the evangelicals, the most admired man in the United States, the one they say could never lead us wrong. This man is almost like God himself. He's a saint. And Saint Billy Graham took the hands of Bill and Hillary. His exact words were these, quote, "The Clintons are wonderful friends and a great couple." And then Billy Graham turned to the crowd, and he said, "Mr. Clinton should become an evangelist and allow his wife to run the country. He should be an evangelist and his wife will be running the country." The New York Daily newspaper reported the vast audience screamed with glee. All Christians just about, and they roared their approval. A philanderer, an adulterer, a liar. He's to become an evangelist. And you know what? He is an evangelist for the devil. And his wife, she's doing exactly what Billy Graham wants. They're both baby-killing abortion advocates. And Billy Graham said she is to become president. He, her husband, is to be an evangelist. I was recently reading the McIlvaney intelligence advisor, my good friend Donald McIlvaney. He's been a big fan of George Bush's. He's been a big fan of Zionism. But now he's beginning to get a little worried. He says the country is moving toward the liberal social Democrats. The White House is going to be left now to a Democrat like Hillary Clinton. He talks about the dark, debauched Clinton years. Now they're back. Imagine, he says, if the Clintons had the vast police state powers which Bush and the Republicans have birthed to fight terrorism, to use against Christians, conservatives, and traditionalists. Before, they had the Republicans fighting them, no longer. Did you know that Fox Network, which is run by the Republicans, owned by Rupert Murdoch, is now backing Hillary Clinton? Rupert Murdoch even had a big party for her, a coming out party. Rupert Murdoch! Republican. Oh, now they're, watch out. There will still be Democrats and Republicans. And many of the Christian right wing, the Jerry Falwells, will say, well, we just don't like that woman. We're opposed to her. Half-heartedly. Dobson, Falwell, Robertson, they're all going to be told, fall in line. Just like Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch, fall in line. Do what we want you to do. Help this woman. And everything's changed now. Bible traditionalists have been cast aside. Now we have the new, I call it the theoconservatives. You heard of the neocons? There's the theocons. Hillary, I am told, I was told by a very prominent New York lawyer just last week, he and I and Wanda met with some friends, and he told me, says Tex, Hillary Clinton met with the leaders of the largest Democrat Party law firms in New York City. And she said, I'm going Christian right. I'm going to embrace the Christian right. A little secret. She's going to position herself as a conservative. After all, she was for the Iraq war. She's going to be for Israel. And isn't that what Falwell and John Hagee and all want? As long as you're for Israel, you can't be bad. Hillary Clinton, Zionist, Judaizer, Jew. Beloved of the Christian evangelicals. It's coming up. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of God's Word.